بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرًا ونذيرًا داعيًا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجًا منيرًا. فما بعد، فقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وقال نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم: أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. My dear respected brothers, sisters, elders, the question I ask myself and the question I request you with due respect to ask yourself is, do we truly believe? Do we truly believe? We say we believe. We say we believe in La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. We say we believe in the Yawm al-Akhirah. We say we believe that we will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one day and we will be called to account whether we like it or not. We say we believe all these things. But is it true? Words are a window into our hearts and minds. Words, especially those we utter in unguarded moments or those we say to ourselves, indicate our real beliefs, what I call our operative realities. Beliefs create attitudes, attitudes drive behavior, behavior yields results. And that is why words are so important. Words must be monitored, and where they reflect attitudes which are unhelpful, harmful, even toxic, the hearts from which those words emerge must be healed. To do this, especially to catch the disease in its formative stage, it is essential to listen to conversations. I remind you and myself, I'm not talking about eavesdropping and spying. I'm talking about concern. I remind you and myself, to listen is not to obey. Though that is how we use the word listen when we say it. Listen to me, meaning what? Obey me. I don't mean it in that context here. I mean listen. Not merely hear. There is a world of difference between hearing and listening. Hearing is about sound. Listening is about understanding. Listening is about making a conscious, thoughtful decision to pay attention, not make assumptions, clarify any ambiguity. And above all, it means to have an open mind while doing all of this, prepared to conclude only at the end, not in the middle somewhere. Not to try to fit in whatever you hear into preconceived notions of our own prejudice and stereotypes. It is the failure of parents to listen to their children. Listen, not hear. It's the failure of parents to listen to their children that results in the generation gap, as well as in what is way more serious, parents being clueless about negative, destructive attitudes, addictions, depression, and other serious psychiatric problems that their children may be afflicted with. As they say, parents are the last to know. That is sad, that is true. And it's totally unnecessary. If only we learn to listen and focus on conversations. Let us reflect on what we talk about at home. What is the quality of our conversation? Do we even have conversations? Or is it just transactional? Do this, do that, go get this, go get that. What do our children speak to us about? Do our children even speak to us at all? Or do we face sullen silence with their real thoughts, feelings, fears, apprehensions, hopes and aspirations reserved for strangers, not parents? We must differentiate in how we raise children, not blend in, stand out, differentiate in a positive way. Next week I am starting a series in the Living Islam class on marriage. When that ends, I will start a series on raising a Muslim child. There are books of mine on both of these. Read the book, it's on Amazon, and come to those classes. Inshallah, they will be beneficial for you. We live in a world which is becoming increasingly more complex and complicated, where my generation and maybe even younger people, where all our experience seems to have become invalid. How many of you have spoken to your child about your childhood back home, whatever land that refers to? All the hardship, deprivation, scarcity that you faced, expecting to inspire your child, fill his or her heart with respect for you and your struggle, only to have them say, "So what? Doesn't apply to me here." Maybe they didn't say that to you in so many words, but some, and they will remain nameless, whoever, I am a steel trap, whoever tells me anything stays with me. Some spoke to me about that. They told me what their fathers and mothers told them, and they used these words. They said, "So what? Doesn't apply to me." The truth is not that they reject you in your life, but that they can't make sense of it. Home is here and now to them. They are already back home. Home is not some place their parents or grandparents came from, and which many of them have not only never seen and probably will never see, but given especially the quality of public school education in this country, they probably can never even find it on a map. If you don't believe me, try it out. Open a world map without the names and tell your child to point to Somalia or to Bangladesh. Let me see how many of them point to the correct place. And forget about the Arabs. If you say Lebanon, I don't even know if I can find it. That is the reality. They are Americans. So on a side note, even stop calling them that. We have posters where it says so-and-so Palestinian, so-and-so Pakistani. What are you talking about? They're not Palestinian and Pakistani, they're American. You better believe it. They were born in this country. They've got an American passport. If you don't instill that into their heads, how on earth are they going to take leadership positions in this country? They don't even consider themselves to be from this country. And you call yourself Palestinian and you can't even find Palestine on a map? We need to change the way we raise children. My brothers and sisters, just data, what happened? Your story is at best an interesting story. And I'm saying at best because most people can't tell a story to save their lives. They will take the most interesting story and turn it into an absolute drudgery. But let's say you are the best storyteller in the world, it's still a story. Nothing more. And at worst, it is boring. Data needs to be converted into a concept, conceptualizing of data, which can then be a lesson, which can be learned and applied. For that, you need to cast your story into their perspective. What is that? 21st century in COVID America and the world. The lessons are there, but you need to decipher them for your children. You need to contextualize the lessons and do it in a way that makes them see how they are useful today in their lives. The same thing applies to Islam and to its study. If we want people, including ourselves, To practice Islam, we must decipher and contextualize it so that we can appreciate its applicability, even its criticality in our lives. Otherwise, it will remain in the realm of ritualistic observance without any practical relevance. Islam is the name of a practice, like judo or aikido or karate. It helps only the one who practices it, not the one who only knows about it, no matter how knowledgeable that person might be. You can be the greatest expert on judo, but if you can't do judo, you will lose the fight. It's as simple as that. Let me illustrate with an example. Two words. Expense, investment. What is an expense? Buying a Tesla Model X. MSRP 79,990. They give you 10 bucks back if you give them 80,000 bucks. Expense. Taking the same money and buying Tesla shares. Investment. And believe me, on the return on that investment, you can lease the Tesla. So you can still drive it and have the money. But most people don't have it in there to do that. Anyway, the point is, which is the smarter thing to do? An expense is something that has no return, while an investment is an expense that has a return. It's not the amount, but what you spend it on which counts. Now, what makes an investment a good investment? ROI plus surety. Return on the investment plus surety. How sure am I of getting that return, right? And the usual principle is, the higher the ROI, the lower the surety. I can suggest to you several African countries where you will have an ROI of several X. But whether you will actually get that money in your hand is anybody's guess. You might get it, you might end up losing your life. ROI plus surety. Now, to give you some examples, compare, for example, investment in government bonds compared to investment on Wall Street or NASDAQ, or investment in blue chips compared to venture capital financing, investing in startups. Which is likely to give you a better ROI? Startups, right? Supposed to be. But I know investment bankers, and I also know venture capitalists. They tell me that 80 to 85% of their venture capital investments go dead. It's that 10 to 15% which gives them the return. But 80 to 85% is dead money. It's gone. Finished. Khalas. How many people are willing to take that risk? Very few. People prefer surety. Now, my question to you is, how about if I tell you about an investment which is both insanely profitable and it is absolutely guaranteed by somebody who controls everything so that there is no doubt about the promised return? No brainer for all of you, right? You know what I'm talking about. My question is, do we believe him? Do we really believe him? It is that simple. Now, what's the test of belief? Test of belief is taking risks. Simple as that. The test of belief is not talking. Test of belief is taking risk. For example, you work all month for an organization which only pays you at the end of the month, but you work all the full month because you are sure that the paycheck will come. You have no doubt about that. But just read your appointment letter once again. When you go home, do this. Whoever is working for any corporation, go read the appointment letter. See if there is a line there which says, have no fear, no matter what, you will get your paycheck at the end of the month. Is that a statement anywhere? It's not that. They don't write that stuff. You are supposed to believe that. And you believe it. But then, why are we anxious? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu told us, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, Bismillahir rahmanir rahim, Qul inna rabbi yabsutu rizqa liman yasha'u min ibadihi wa yaqdiru lah, wa ma anfaqtum min shay'in fahuwa yukhlifuhu, wa huwa khayrul raziqin. He said jalla jalaluhu, say, truly my Rabb enlarges the provision of whoever he wants and he restricts it for him. And whatever you spend in his path, he will return it. Allah has ghira. Allah does not take from you. This is for you. Allah says, whatever you spend, Allah will return it to you. He will replace it. And He is the best of providers. And He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-provider, the owner of power and the strongest. And then He said, our anxiety with regard to our children and so on. Allah said, وَلَا تَقُتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ خَشْيَةَ إِمْلَاقُ نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُهُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ إِنَّ قَتْلَهُمْ كَانَ خِطَعًا كَبِيرًا. Allah said, do not kill your children for fear of poverty. We provide for them and for you. Surely killing them is the greatest sin. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَوْ بَسَطَ اللَّهُ الرِّزْقَ لِعِبَادِهِ لَبَغَوْا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنْ يُنَزِّلُ بِقَدَرٍ مَا يَشَاءُ إِنَّهُ بِعِبَادِهِ خَبِيرٌ بَصِيرٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to enlarge the provision for His slaves, if He were to give you lots of money and so on, He said, they would surely rebel on the earth. How true this is, right? But therefore, He sends down by measure as He wills. Verily, He is with respect to His slaves, the well-aware and the all-seer of everything. Please reflect on this. Then ask yourself, what is the need for the anxiety in our hearts? أقول قولي هذا استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا كما أمر ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال تعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. My dear brothers and sisters, if we really believe in Allah, and if we believe Allah, two things are different. Huh? If we believe in Him and we believe Him, one relates to the aqidah, belief. The other one relates to the amal, which is obedience. Then why don't we understand that when it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who decides our provision, we cannot get more by disobeying Him. Why don't you understand this? This is a complete no-brainer. Total no-brainer. If Allah is the one who decides, and nobody can interfere with that because He has complete and total control, then how can I get more by disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Doesn't make any sense at all. Any sense whatsoever. Doesn't make any sense. Think about it. Ask yourself. So why do we deal in interest? Why do we buy and sell stuff which we know is haram? This is Islam. Islam is as simple as this. It's not knowing, you know, books of fiqh, and it's not memorizing hadith and not memorizing Quran. It is our transactions. It is how I lead my life. We have to ask some basic fundamental questions to ourselves. No matter how uncomfortable it makes us, if it is making you uncomfortable, rejoice. Because it means you have a heart which is alive, which is concerned about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why you are uncomfortable. Because there are a lot of people out there who are doing what you are doing and more, and they are perfectly happy with that. So, if whatever we are doing, if it is making us uncomfortable, respect that. This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means the heart is alive. It means that this is the hidayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respect it. Don't push it away. Because if you push it away enough times, a day will come when the discomfort will go away. That is the danger sign. That is truly danger sign. When discomfort goes away. When you stop feeling the pain. The sign of life is not happiness. The sign of life is the ability to feel pain. When you stop feeling the pain, it means it's dead. We do not want our heart to die. We know the ayat of the Quran. I am not going to recite all of those ayat because you know them. We know the ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah from 275 to 279. Read them for yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited dealing with interest in any form. Taking it, paying it, witnessing transactions, every form. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you don't have to do that. I am the one who gives you. The question I need to ask myself, the question you need to ask yourself is, who do you believe? Your financial analysts and bankers? Or do you believe Allah? That's the question. Sauban radiallahu anhu reported in a hadith in Sunan ibn Majah from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, nothing deprives a person of provision but the sin that he commits. Nothing restricts, nothing reduces, nothing deprives a person of his risk than the sin that he committed. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and we know this hadith very well, when the believer commits sin, a dark spot appears on his heart. If he repents and gives up that sin and seeks forgiveness, his heart will be polished. But if he continues to sin, the dark spot increases until it engulfs his heart. And this also is in Sunan ibn Majah. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, let us ask ourselves who we want to believe. Because on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us these questions. Let us remember that on the day of judgment, it is our deeds, our hands and feet, which will speak, not our tongues. الْيَوْمَ نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِهِمْ وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Yasin, the tongues will be sealed and the hands and feet will bear witness. I ask myself, what will my hand say? What will my feet say? My brothers and sisters, this is not about despairing. There's no despair in Islam. There's no despair with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is about waking up in time and doing something. Not just waking up and lying in bed. That's worthless. You got to get out of bed for something to happen, right? People say, we should wake up. No, wake up and get out of bed, both. Not just wake up. And do what? Make istighfar and tawbah. Make istighfar and tawbah. Change ourselves. Change our lives. My brothers and sisters, I used examples related to our financial dealings because that is where there is a scope for maximum misguidance as well as maximum benefit. If we truly believe in the reward from Allah, ask yourself, what must your year-end balance sheet look like when it comes to spending in the path of Allah and spending elsewhere? It's a numbers game, brother. Simple as that. It's a numbers game. Numbers don't lie. A number is a number. What did I spend on myself, on what I like and so on and so forth? And of course, a lot of what you spend on yourself also is charity. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this. What you spend on your family is charity. I am not saying, do what you want. Make sure that what you are spending for the akhirah is more than what you spend for this dunya. Because if I really believe that what I spend in the akhirah is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward me for, then if I say that I believe in Allah and I believe in His reward, then which must be more? Think about that. Just remember this, that the quantum of our risk, the quantum of our sustenance, the total amount of it is fixed. We have a choice of how we want to earn it. And on that choice depends whether we have a blessing in it, barakah, or whether it becomes the source of grief for us in this world and the akhirah. What we choose reflects what we believe. So let us choose wisely. As somebody said, Watch your thoughts, because they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him and to save us from that which doesn't please Him. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you in ways that you cannot imagine and to protect you from every harm, that which you know and that which you don't know. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you and your families and your children. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect your work. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable you to earn from halal means, to eat halal and to spend halal. That is the secret of the acceptance of dua, to earn halal and to eat halal. Anything in which you have the absolute micro doubt, leave it. All of us are dieting. If you miss a meal, it will be good for you. Nobody is dying here of starvation. If you have the slightest doubt, don't touch it. If you want your du'as to be accepted. If you don't care, you don't care. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your du'as the way He used to accept the du'as of the Anbiya of Bani Israel. And I say that because this is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about His ummah. He said, Allah will accept the du'as of my ummah the way He used to accept the du'as of the Anbiya of Bani Israel. But we have to resemble the Anbiya of Bani Israel, not the Fasiqun of Bani Israel. He didn't say, like He accepted all the Bani Israel. No. The best of them. The Anbiya of Bani Israel. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us obedient to Him, to keep us in obedience to Him, and to take us in a state of obedience to Him when He is the most pleased with us. رَبَّنَا فَقْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَّمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَآلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ يَا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ رَحِمَكُمُ اللَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِظُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ يَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاعْبُدُوهُ يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ أَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ